Well, over this last month or so, we have been spending time on the theme of faith with Hebrews chapter 11. And as we've been seeing, I hope, this rich chapter of the Bible has told us quite a lot about what it means to be a people of faith. It has offered us a definition of faith to hold on to and to walk with, a definition that not only asks us to think or to feel in a particular way, but one that asks us as well to do something, to walk forward in day-to-day real life with an assurance of what we hope for, the assurance of what God has told His people that they can and should hope for. A promised rest, a promised land, a day when God will finally renew the world according to His good designs. Hebrews tells us that faith means that we can walk with confidence today, with the assurances of tomorrow, because God is the one who makes those assurances for tomorrow. God is the one with whom we can walk forward in confident faith. God can be trusted. This is a definition of faith. It asks us as well to trust God even where we cannot see Him. Sometimes it reminds us the things that we do see in life aren't quite what they appear to be anyway. Sometimes we need to learn to trust God in the unseen, because there are times in life when the world goes dark and gets confusing. And finding our way out beyond them involves us taking the hand of the God who was always there in the unseen places. Sometimes taking the hand of God in the unseen is just an exercise in remembering who is really in control. Hebrews has offered us a definition of faith to put into action, but also a reminder of the long list of faithful ones that have walked this road before us, that have paved the way and shown us how, that have navigated difficult days by choosing to trust God through them. All of this long list of ancestors are remembered here in this chapter. They're remembered as an encouragement and an inspiration for us today to show us how to do this well, to help us find strength in the reminder that this can be done. Last week, it asked us to recall that none of us ever walks this walk alone. It asked us to consider that we are nurtured into this walk of faith by those whose faithful journeying have shaped that path, by those who show us what faith in God looks like in flesh and blood terms. Moses' parents, our parents, our parents in faith. It reminds us that the people of faith are not a self-made people. And as we finish out the chapter today, Hebrews here calls us to back up from this picture that it's been putting into place one by one, and to see that we are truly surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a great host of the faithful that have gone on and walked this road of faith too, and that continue to walk beside it with us even to this very day. This is a cloud that's getting bigger and bigger all of the time. This is the great host of the people of God walking in the trust of God that extends way back before us and all around us, cheering us on as we run our part of the race as well. always reminding us that none of us are alone in any of this. So today, as we come around to the end of this chapter, in these final few verses that go on to list these faithful one after another in rapid succession, I want to ask one final question. Where does Hebrews 11 leave us? When we've taken the time to read through it closely and carefully and take in all these examples and all that it has to say about faith, where would it have us begin? How would it have us get started? You know, one of the things that we've noticed about the book of Hebrews in the Thursday morning Bible study that we've been doing throughout this summer is that in Hebrews, it pays to be on the lookout for the word therefore. Therefore. That's how this book builds its argument and gets to its punchlines oftentimes, with that word therefore. And there are several big therefores that carry the progress of this book along through the early chapters especially. You know, this book begins in chapter 1 with a call to its audience to pay extra special attention to the example of Jesus Christ. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, there's a therefore. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. At the beginning of chapter 3 as well, we see it again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one who appointed him. It says that we should pay attention, and we should notice especially Jesus's faithfulness. Again, at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. At the beginning of chapter 6, there is yet another big therefore. Therefore, let us go on to perfection, leaving behind the basic teachings about Christ and not laying again the foundation. Jesus was faithful. We should be faithful too, and here's how, is what the therefores in the first half of Hebrews takes us on to hear. I relate all of that because as we come to the end of Hebrews chapter 11 today, it's important that we notice that here too, it ends with a therefore. A therefore to signal to us that the big takeaway is soon in following. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It's another climactic therefore. This time, calling our attention not only to those saints that have run the race well with God faithfully before us, but to Jesus himself. Again, the pioneer, the perfecter of the faith that Hebrews has been talking about. The pioneer, the one who set out to explore just how far such a faith will take us. Just how far this undiscovered country extends. And the perfecter, the one who did this perfectly, who we can look to with confidence as a guide, the one who walks beside us to see this faith through to the end. Hebrews calls us here. Hebrews' call to us here is to go out and to run a race with Christ's example before us. And I have to say that with every passing year, I'm getting more and more experience with watching races. I never did much racing of any sort myself, and so I'm learning that there's a lot more to it than putting a bunch of people at a starting line and the fittest one wins. There's a great deal of psychology and mental toughness and tactics and even emotion that factor into a race in addition to all of that physical preparation. You know, you can expend all of your energy right out of the gate and spend the rest of the race worrying to yourself that you might not be able to keep your body moving to the end. I watched a few races now where you can tell by the expression on a runner's face that that's what they're thinking. Oh boy, I started out way too fast. How am I going to finish? You can get so far behind the pack in a race that your heart gives up on ever having a chance to win or finish well. And your body can start to take on that sluggishness and defeat. You can be running neck and neck with someone you've raced against several times before, and if they seem to be the one that comes out on top every time, you know, you might not push yourself as much in the struggle as you otherwise would have. You can sort of give yourself permission not to push. You can see that in a person's eyes sometimes. I don't have a chance. I'm not even going to try. One of the things I've noticed in the kids who seem to race well is that they don't let themselves get too caught up in the struggle of any one particular moment of any one particular race. They have a larger frame of vision, it seems. They keep it in their minds that they've been in races before. If they're not in the lead, they know that there's still time. They'll turn it on when the time is right. They know their race, how fast they run, and approximately how they're doing compared to other races, compared to their best times. They know how to finish. They've experienced losing before. They've experienced winning before. They've experienced what it feels like to find that extra push at the end somehow. They can find that and finish the race. They've got something more than this current race to rely on, in other words. Some reference point to lean back on when they hit a snag or a challenge. They have coaches and an ever-expanding list of experiences to help them navigate new situations. That's what the book of Hebrews, in this, therefore, is saying about Jesus in the race of faith. Jesus is the one that we can look to for how to finish strong when we got out of the gate too fast and are running low on stamina. Jesus is the one we can look to when we hit a snag in the course. How do I navigate this hurdle? How do I make my way past this roadblock? When life knocks us down on the course, Jesus shows us how to get back up again. When the course of life hands us heartbreak, or an injustice, or a loss, or an unexpected event that steers all of our plans off course, Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, shows us what it looks like to walk in faith even through that, and to persevere even at those times when we feel our hearts giving way. We do not run alone in the life of faith when we put our faith in the one who promises to run it with us. But make no mistake, church, the calling of Hebrews is to run. Run on and keep on running. Run with perseverance. Run the race of faith, knowing who runs before you, knowing where to look for the one who has run it well. You will get tired, but run. You will discourage and grow faint of heart sometimes, but run. You'll fall sometimes. Maybe lose sight of the course, but keep on running. Jesus will take your hand. Keep on the lookout. Just keep running. Keep running with perseverance, the race that's been set before you. Whatever you do, don't stop running. One foot in front of the other on the course of faith. Keep going. You've got this. God's got this. Jesus will get you through this. Amen.